Exodus chapter 1, please. Reading verse 7, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. They built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage, mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Verse 22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Notice chapter 2, verse 21. Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Chapter 3 and verse 1 says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro. Notice over in the book of Hebrews, please, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a beautiful or a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Oftentimes we can find interesting teaching in the Old Testament, going back and bringing it up into the New. For there are 3 phases of life that go into Exodus that correspond to your life and mine. They were in the land of Egypt, and there they were redeemed by blood. Egypt is a picture of the world. You are redeemed by blood. Pharaoh was the taskmaster, and Satan is the taskmaster today in the world. His desire is to keep you away from obedience to God. And then you find going into the land of Canaan. When they crossed the Red Sea, when they crossed the river and came into Canaan, it is a picture of Ephesians. Their feet were now on the promised land. You and I in Ephesians are seated in the heavenlies, saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are marching homeward, and this comes up for you and for me as sheltered by the blood, separated by the water, for they went through the Red Sea. It speaks of baptism, and then you'll find that it told of them being purchased. You and I are bought with a price. And therefore, we are to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's. And so when we come to chapter 11, God is trying to tell us again that his whole purpose is that we may be Christ-like. For Moses was God's man. Moses was despised, so Christ. They sought to kill Moses, and so Christ. Moses went out to protect the people, and he smote an Egyptian, and therefore he was sought, and they sought from that time on to put him to death. He fled into Midian. When he got there, he was given Zipporah as his bride. It seemed in that day a bride was given in appreciation. You can find it in a number of instances, and in this case, he sat by a well. You can think of at least three who got their brides by a well. And if those who seek a bride, a partner, we find the best place to find it is by the well, at the Word of God. It is there that God shows us the first thing, it should be one who loves the Lord. Moses loved the Lord, and the people of God were afflicted. They were heavily burdened, and as they're marching through the land of Egypt, that cruel ruler, Pharaoh, Satan, in the picture, he sought to put upon them burdens that they couldn't bear. But God heard their cry, and those who were afflicted, God heard and God answered. God delivered them. Moses came prematurely. He went out and he smote an Egyptian seeking to save the lives of Israelites. But it was too early in his life. It was not God's plan, and he had to flee because of that. Here we come to the book of the Hebrews, and we find that God is trying now to show us a little about the life of Moses that we can put into our own lives. One of the things that you find in the background, there was pleasures of sin. Today, there are pleasures of sin, but remember, it is for a season. Dealing with alcoholics, you find that the first thing they do is go out into society, and they take a social drink, and it doesn't bother them at all. They get deeper into society, and they take more. And the first thing, they become an alcoholic. And then they have to leave home. They have to be treated. And God has this. There's pleasures in sin, but it's only for a season. I remember hearing one of the preachers talk, and he told of a man who was drinking. And he thought everything was fine, but when he got to the cup, and he started to take the last bit, there was a little serpent in the very bottom that was part of the cup. And when he got it and realized, this is of the devil. This is going to take my life and it'll be destroyed. And he put the cup down. Young people today getting off alone, and I have been there, they have no restraint. There is no accountability. And they start into a life of sin unconsciously. A daredevil. I mentioned about the young girl witnessing to her, a waitress. And after speaking and several of the Christians witnessing to her, she said, I feel like stooping over and allowing someone to kick me for what I have done. She got off to school and she fell for the trap of Satan. And she did things that even bothered her conscience. You and I soon get to a point where we are not in the presence of those who are going to guide us. And therefore, we need one guide, and that guide is going to be the Bible. We're going to have to find Scripture. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're going to have to take and memorize and get the Word of God into our hearts, because it is that which God gives. You have already heard that in California, the announcement was made that the prisons of southern United States are full of pastors and preachers. If they can't have the Word of God in their cell, what can they do? They have it in their heart. They have it in their mind. And one of the treasures that you and I have is the ability to memorize the Word of God. And it will come forth. And even in soul winning, it's the Scriptures that God blesses, not what we say about them. God blesses His Word. So study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My brother was dressed in his tux. He was going to a ball in Philadelphia one night, and he turned around at the door, and he said, "I have one question. Do you mind if I ask it?" And he asked me a question about being saved. He said, "If I talk to preachers and ask for one question, then they buttonhole you and they keep you for the longest time." He said, "I want time to think." And so he stood and he asked that question. Then he came over and he asked another. And after about an hour, he went to the phone and a girl is dressed in formal to go to a Philadelphia ball. And he said, "I can't come. Something important has come up." God used that in his conviction. And here, God wants you and he wants me to have the word of God that it might convict. Conviction means convincing. And if we are convinced we are a sinner, it's then we'll flee from the wrath to come. If you try to change a person's mind against their will, they're of the same opinion still. You cannot put words in the mouth of a person. There is pleasure in sin for a season. In the Navy, there's pleasure in sin for a season. I graduated with 52 men. They came out, and many of them, not under any governmental rule now, they went out for a few days of pleasure. They came back with disease. They went out and had pleasures of sin for a season, but it marked their body. They had to go home to their wives and tell them they had come down with BD. They had come down with a sexually transmitted disease, and they dishonored God, they dishonored their family, and they brought shame upon themselves, and some of them, even in a ward where it was impossible to recover, they died. There's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Right here in Virginia, there was a man who was embalmed. At the last minute, they were combing his hair. And when they combed his hair, and I believe it was in Petersburg, the comb struck something. And when they checked, there was a nail embedded in the head. And they called for his wife, and she was arrested for murder. Be sure your sin will find you out. She wanted the pleasures of sin for a season. And therefore, she sought to put away the governmental jurisdiction that would be coming from her own family, from her husband. Remember, if you're going out into the world, and whether it is me or whether it is you, there's pleasures. You can have fun, but you cannot have joy. Joy comes from God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And fun will lead you into destruction, and yet we find much of it in the world today. There's religious fun today, and beware, because if it is not God-honoring, it's questionable. And if it's questionable, get back to the Word of God. Find the Scriptures. Have your own convictions. Be convinced of what God wants, because there is pleasures in sin, but it's for a season. It's not very long. Moses learned that back in the land of Egypt. He was there, and God made him a ruler. God puts various men in positions. He was saying he wasn't qualified. He wasn't a man of eloquent speech. But God calls different ones to do different things in the world. You may not think that you can be a missionary, and the reason is you've never tried. You immediately block it out in your life because I could never go to Africa. I could never go to China. I could never stand the grass huts. I could never stand the reproach. But God chose this man. He was drawn out. And God calls out people today and draws them from the world and draws them to himself. I was bound for business. And yet God called me out of it. God gave me a better position. I was assured of money, but God gave me assurance of much more. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God giveth and giveth and giveth again. There was pleasures in sin for a season. The next thing he came up very quickly was that in the land of Egypt, there had to be something was going to deliver these people. They were afflicted. They were beaten. They were made to make mortar. They were made to make bricks. And they were building. And there were two cities that are being built. And it's slave labor. It's interesting, when I went over to Egypt, and I've been there several times, they never have one thing in history that they made the Egyptians do this. They said, there's nothing written like that. We never did that to those Israelites over there. You see, you have to have the word of God, not the word of the Egyptians. They're very belligerent over the fact that we claim that they mistreated the Israelites, God's people. But God tells you they did. Who do you believe? The Egyptians or the word of God? The Israelites in that land of Egypt, first of all, they had pleasures for sin for a season, and then they found something out important. There's power in the blood. Do you remember singing that piece? There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. It's power that'll deliver you from the penalty of your sin, and that, the wages of sin is death. There's power in the blood. I told you of going to San Francisco, going out there where that man was making a speech against the power of the blood of Christ. It was right at the Golden Gate Bridge. That was my reason for going there. I heard that there's a building right at the edge. And at the edge of the building, right there, they had a meeting. And the man got up and he said, there is no power in the blood of Christ. He was just another man. How could his blood save? He died. And yet, the Bible teaches there's power in the blood. When that man finished his eloquency, when he finished tearing apart the scriptures and the person of Christ, it is said an elderly woman in the back started singing. And as she started to sing, it was, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. She was singing about the blood that can cleanse from all sin. It is finally said that 100 sang on the second verse, and then the third one. It was, dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved the sin no more. It is said the people stood. They sang loudly. There's power in the blood. Do you know Moses found that out? The blood of Christ was pictured, and the blood of the Lamb in the land of Egypt delivered them out of the bondage of Pharaoh, who is a picture of Satan, and brought them into freedom and liberty, and took them out of the land of Egypt, and they were to serve, sacrifice for the Lord himself. Why did God save you? Why did he shelter you by the blood? Not as a fire escape. Not that you might not be in hell, though that's a wonderful thing. He wanted you to sacrifice. He wanted you to serve him. And that's exactly what God brings out in his word. Serving the Lord. God's searching for boys and girls today who want to get to the word of God and yield their lives early and be preserved from the pleasures of sin that are for a season. And it's secretly with you and with me, God heard the cries of the people of God in the land of Egypt, and God will hear you cry. Deliver me. And the people were delivered. And they were delivered by the blood of a lamb. My sins are forgiven through the blood of the Lamb of God. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And if you can imagine being under that cruel taskmaster, being whipped, being forced to do labor, and then all of a sudden, God came in and he sheltered them by the blood. I can remember the liberty that I felt when God saved me. I thought there was nothing that God couldn't do through me. I remember the back field caught on fire. We had a 7-acre place, and there's a huge building out in the back, a beautiful building. And the fire got all around it, and I just stood there and I prayed, Lord, preserve the building. The fire engine came and it preserved them, but God answered prayer. And there was nothing in my life that I thought God couldn't do. And so I started trusting a little more. God started to answer more. Then that night in the Gospel Hall in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, when someone gave out the hymn, "I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me, and I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee," it touched the heart. I was in business now for myself, self-service food store. And then the second verse came, "Consecrate me to thy service, Lord. By the power of grace divine, let my faith look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine." And during that meeting, I sold my business in my heart and in my mind and then went home and put it up for sale, and a man bought it. That's when my father came and was going to turn all that he had over to me. And I said, "Dad, I found somebody who loved me enough to die for me, and I love them enough to live for them." And I turned down wealth. But my God, he taught me early there's pleasures of sin just for a season, and he taught me there's power in the blood. It wasn't until 15 years later that we found more. There's power in the blood. My brother came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Then my grandfather that put his own son, my father, out of the house because he got saved. There's power in the blood. Dad led his own father to the Lord. Do you know there's power in the blood? And if there's somebody that you long to see saved, let them know about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, God gives wealth. And in this portion, prosperity is not everything. There's power in the blood, pleasures and sin for a season, and then prosperity. That's not exactly what Moses wanted. There's many a person, and the whole thing in their life is the dollar bill. How much do you leave when you die? Every dollar bill that you ever earned. You can't take it with you. You can send it on before. Mrs. Mather was in the home in Longport, New Jersey. When she got saved, she was from a well-to-do family. Her parents gave all of the family wealth. And for her, a few stocks and bonds. Years went on and the stocks and bonds were worth a fortune. And she was a wealthy woman. God is in control. God was in control of Moses, and God wants to be in control of you and in control of me. Prosperity, not everything. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. How many people have built beautiful homes? A fire came, destroyed them, they're gone. How many people have built a beautiful home near the seashore? I talked to one woman and she said, "I looked out and there our brand new Cadillac was rolled out to sea. It was in the driveway and a huge wave came. I stood and watched in Ocean City, New Jersey, Longport, New Jersey, watched during the storm, the hurricane, and saw the waves when they came up under the home. Then it came into the home and I watched the homes washed out to sea." All that you have your heart set on here is only temporary. And prosperity is not everything. When Mr. Ford died, he was the wealthiest man of that time, we're told. And someone asked, "How much did he leave?" And somebody said he left everything. It doesn't matter how much it is. Whatever I have in my pocket, if I die tonight, I'm going to leave it. What I have for God and can send on before, I'll meet again. You have heard of people who have left fortunes in their will. Then the will is contested and the Lord gets nothing. That's why that man penned those words, "Do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going." There's a lot of sense to it. Do your giving while you're living. Don't wait and leave it in your will if you can't spend it. In other words, "Lord, you can have what's left over if I can't use it." And that's not the attitude. And do you know your life actually begins with an attitude? And your attitude goes into an action. Your action becomes a habit, and your habit becomes your character. That's put to test daily by people all over the world. Their attitude, it starts with a thought. You had a thought to come to the chapel tonight, and that's why you're here. Your attitude went into action, and you've come. And God is pleased with those who desire to learn the Word of God, to go on for Him. And so the main thing that Moses learned, he prayed. The people of God prayed. God heard their cries. God heard their prayer. Have you prayed for something? Go again. Bring it before Him. For God is faithful, and God answers prayer. Pleasures in sin for a season. Is it honoring to God? Pleasures in sin for a season. Will it be to my hurt or for help spiritually? Pleasures. The things of the world, they're only for a little while. It's something you can grasp at, something you can lose. God wants you today to yield to Him. To be able to say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, today. Don't be fooled for the pleasures of sin. They're fleeting. Then, remember, there is power in the blood. And if that loved one isn't saved yet, give them the Word of God. Tell them of the power in the blood. For the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Show them prosperity isn't everything by your life. Not simply by words. Then he brings up the next subject, and it's very interesting. That if you do these things, if you remember that prosperity is only temporarily here, then the next thing you're going to find is, just as all Christians do, persecution comes. I remember being as happy could be, until I walked up that aisle and was seated with my parents at my brother's wedding, and a debutante sitting over on the right. There goes Doug's brother, out loud. He's a religious fanatic. And all of a sudden, I kind of felt like drawing up into his shell. Now, if I took a drink with him, a social drink, I was fine. I was one of the crowd. But I stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ. At that 1940 reunion, the high school class reunion, when I told them about accepting the Lord, some of them didn't even talk after that, but the majority came, and many said, I have accepted Christ as my Savior too. It's time they did, because all of them are in their 70s. They're not here for too long, and it would be foolish to put it off. But there's one thing about them. It was the richest school district in the United States. They have money. They're enjoying the pleasures of sin that are for a season. They think prosperity is here forever. But all they're going to have when they finish is a little piece of land. It's only 6 feet deep. It's going to be their grave. Oh, they have homes in various parts of the world. But it's not going to do one bit of good when you and I are called out and give account to God. The pleasures of sin that have occupied our mind are going to keep us from being occupied with Christ. The power in the blood of which we have heard, we postpone time after time, knowing it's true. And then, coming in to know that prosperity isn't everything, when you realize this, you turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Back in Hollywood, we have a woman who was very ill with lupus. She couldn't walk. And she cried to God. And miraculously, the Lord delivered her. But it changed her life so much that, do you know what she does now? She's on the phone till midnight, night after night. People phone her from all over the country, asking for prayer. She's a prayer warrior. You say, I can't do much for the Lord. You know, she prays, and she has seen so many answers to prayer. And if there's any Christian, a home is open, and you need help, it's there. And you'd be welcome in the home. All because she realized prosperity is not everything. And there's power in the blood. And the pleasures of sin that she sought are only for a season. We mentioned that the next thing that this portion of the scripture brings up, and remember Moses, he had those three phases in his life. He was in Egypt, and I was in Egypt in the world. Then he was separated by water, and I was baptized when God saved me, not for salvation, but because of. And at that time, because I was dead, I was buried. My companions kept coming. My companions told me of the parties. One day, I had forgotten something at one of the houses. And it was a Sunday afternoon, and I went down and drove in my car and knocked on the door. One of the girls said, "Xander, get out of here. You give me a bad conscience." What had happened? My life had changed. Oh, it was the cleanest moral crowd you'd ever want. But it was a wild crowd. They were enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. And so he finally winds up, and what he was trying to tell the people, if you do the things that you find Moses did, you're going to be persecuted, and they sought to put him to death. But think again of Revelation chapter 12 and 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and that's Pharaoh, that's the devil, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. The word of their testimony. When was the last time you told somebody you were saved? You cry out, "Oh God, save this loved one." Have you witnessed to them recently? Now, God can resurrect scripture they heard years ago. And that's apparently what happened to me, for I was sitting all alone in the car. Nobody was preaching to me. I didn't raise my hand, join anything, or give anything. But that scripture was brought back by a patient Sunday school teacher. And I'm sure I gave the Sunday school teachers a hard time. I took the crew when we had to go to Sunday school in order to get the car to go somewhere. And I'd take them into Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher earned their pay that day. It was tough, but they were patient. They were loving. They were kind. Then when I graduated from high school, and one of those teachers said, "Ray, what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I made a decision. There's one thing that I have to do, and I want to do it soon." "What's that?" "You're going to get a scholarship?" "No." "You're going to go to college?" "No." "Engaged?" "No." "What?" "I need to be saved." The man was shocked. But you see, when the seed is sown and it's deep in the heart, then we realize that soon we must trust Christ or be lost forever. Have you had persecution? "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And then it says, if you live godly, you'll suffer persecution. And if the life is real easy and there is nothing tempting you or nothing in trials in your life, are you really living the life of sacrifice and service for the Lord? And that's what he asks me at this time. Persecution is bound to come if you give up the pleasures of sin for a season. Prosperity, it may come, but it's only here, just like the pleasures of sin. It's just here for a little while. I remember Mr. Dixon, when I was having meetings, somebody said to him, money talks. He says, "It sure does. It tells me goodbye." He didn't have that much, and what he had, he spent. Money does talk. Politically, that's how things are run today, sad to say. But it's only for a season. Then it winds up where, you know, Moses was so Christ-like. What was it that he kept? What was it kept his mind going that he was redeemed by blood? If you look back, you'll find that it was something in his life. It was the Passover. He kept the Passover. It had to do with the blood. And there he remembered his Lord. If you think of the Passover, it told of deliverance, just as the bread and the cup today tell you and tell me of deliverance. The bread tells of that body that was given because there was none upon earth that could save him. And therefore the Lord took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. God was manifest in the flesh. And God became man, yet he was God. And he bore your sins in mind. And the punishment I deserve was his, willingly. And when he died, he said, "It is finished. It's completed. It's paid in full. And you have a gift." But we just don't come to a meeting to learn a little bit more. God wants each time we hear to put it in practice, just like you were in school getting a test. Now I've learned this. Now how do I go out and put it in practice? There's pleasure in sin for a season. There's power in the blood. Prosperity is not everything. The Passover speaks. Others will watch as you remember him. And when you remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, drinking of the cup, you're saying, the work is all done. The cup separated from the bread. The blood has been shed. I look back to Calvary. I'm redeemed. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirits, which are God's. How does Moses sum up? God saved him. God brought him out. He brought him from the land of Egypt, just as this world. He took him out and put him in that wilderness scene. And that's where we are today. And in the wilderness scene, he was waiting and hoping for the promised land. We may see that tonight. The promised land, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, or he can come and take us all home. And the last thing he said, what God wants. When they passed through the sea, there was separation from the ungodly. The people of God saw them as dead men along the shore. And sometimes we allow our hearts go out. They go out to those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. And the Lord wants my affection to be brought to himself. And we love him because he first loved us. And he just winds up with a man by the name of Moses. God made him a deliverer. Would you be one of God's deliverers tonight? And would you tell that loved one that you know so well about the Lord Jesus, remembering that which they have, the pleasures of sin, it's only for a season. Tell them there's power in the blood, that they can be saved this very day. And the thing they're working for so hard, prosperity, it's just for a little while and soon will be gone. And the Passover, it means so much because it tells them they were delivered out of Egypt. And they're going on to a promised land, and that's my life and yours. And then finally, they were protected by their separation. God was with them, and God is with his people today. And he's taking them home, and he says, "Be strong and of a good courage. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Like David the psalmist, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Remember that young man that was downed over in that foreign country in his plane, and they thought he was lost, and finally they found him. To whom did he attribute the praise when they rescued him? To God.
Time Magazine, God save me. The radio, the television, God save me. And remember, the only person that can truly save you is God. And God was manifest in the flesh. And the Lord Jesus, God the Son, shed His precious blood. And He'll take the pleasures of sin from your heart and give you the joy of serving Him, of living for Him. And it may not be too long before you see His face and hear a well done. Shall we pray? Our Father, we know there is pleasures of sin for a season, and how deceiving it is, for life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf in time. But we thank Thee tonight there's power in the blood. We'd ask Thee for each here that they may have that assurance that the blood of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now we'd ask Thee to bless those who are not with us tonight because of many reasons. Thou knowest all things. Then just take those who are ill, and as a great physician, draw very near to them. We'd say in each life, Thy will be done. Giving thanks in that name that Thou delightest to honor, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.